Now, FSCJ announced the plays for this season Broadway in Jacksonville. It'll kick off in December with Hamilton. Tickets are on sale now. Eddie Ortega, who plays Hercules Mulligan and James Madison in the show, joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for coming on. How difficult is it to take on a role like this for such an iconic character?
Ooh, that's a great question. So I've been playing the role for like almost 2.5 years because I did it back in 23 till June 25 last year. So at this point, not nearly as difficult as when I started it back in 23. But yeah, I think now it's different challenges of like, in a good way, because I've been here for about 9 weeks now. I remember how it felt to do certain things before, and now there's a little bit of a freedom to like free up some of those habits and whatever and see if I can discover even more. I think difficult's not the word. It's more fun, honestly, at this point at least. You're catching me at a fun time. So it's just fun to play. I feel like there's more openness of playing with my own version of Hercules Mulligan and James Madison. And not feeling, one, the pressure of how others have done it before, or two, even how I did it before. It's kind of a place of discovery right now.
How did you get the acting bug?
It's a great, great question. Acting how I know it now, like musical theater, was senior year of high school when I booked Usnavi in the Heights. And I was never had auditioned for a musical in my life. So this was like the end of junior year, but we did the show in senior year. And yeah, I booked it. It was the lead in the show. And I was like, that's exciting. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I think it showed. But I did a great job for where I was at that point in my life. And I just remember doing the show and just in rehearsals, just feeling the energy of singing, which I used to sing before I did the musical, but singing and also like, wait, I'm telling this story. And there's a bunch of people on stage. And the lead role is Dominican, I'm Dominican, and we're singing songs that I feel familiar with. I didn't know musicals were like this. And then I found out musicals are not usually like that afterward. But I would say that was like for musical theater sense, but truly as like a form of like expressing myself in that way was probably in church and doing dramas in church and singing in the choir and doing pantomimes and then eventually, you know, taking electives in school that had acting and committing to it. I think the church was definitely the birth of what I love now, even though I don't do any work with that anymore. But I would say that's the birth of my acting bug.
What is your process to help remembering lines? Because it's so much, especially like given like how long plays are. It's got to be daunting just to remember everything.
It's really not. I think it depends on who you are. For me, I'm a person that is always, math is my favorite subject. So in school, I loved math, and I think it was because they're equations, they're not changing. It's like there's a set way of each math course, algebra, geometry, whatever it may be. But there's a set curriculum always. And my brain loves numbers. So with lines, it works kind of the same way. I'm like, oh, these are words. There's a certain amount that I have to memorize. I know the number scene by scene, and then repetition. That's how it stays in my head. So just constantly repeating the lines without any emotion, usually at first. Just so it's like your body just remembers the vowels and how your breath moves through it. And then, you know, all the preparation that I do as an actor goes in there. That helps it stay in there. And then also doing the show 8 times a week for multiple years at this point, I could leave for 2 months and come back and I probably would still get every line right without even rehearsing it because my body's like, oh, we know the patterns of this show.
Oh, so you get like the muscle memory and everything. So like you never have like those like moments of like stage fright where you just like all of a sudden your brain just shuts off. It goes, oh crap, what am I supposed to be saying right now?
So we refer to that as the white room.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was a name.
Yeah, when we go to the white room, it's like, I'm blank. And that doesn't happen too much with me because I think with my role, I never have too many, to be honest, like lines in a row where I'm like, oh, man, I have a lot that I have to say right now. I have a lot to say throughout the show, but it's usually in dialogue with someone. So I'm never like, oh, I have this big monologue. I have this big solo. I'm going to remember all these lines. It doesn't really happen, minus the Mulligan rap in the end of York, in the middle of Yorktown. So yeah, It's really never happened to me. But as far as a feeling, every show, every single show, I say this to everyone too, right before my first line, you know, we hear dent, 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 and I have to come out for my verse, three verses after that. Every night I'm nervous. Like, I'm like, am I going to say this right? Every single night, no matter what. And then it's gone. It's like, as soon as I start talking, I'm not worried the rest of the show. But every night, it's like a nice little just reminder that, hey, you know, I've been doing this for a while, but those feelings are still there. Just like as if I was a kid in high school, you know, about to go on.
Speaking of just like that being that kid in high school, what was that feeling like to actually like be in like a big production and just be performing in front of all these people that you've been working hard to get to this level? What did that feel like the first time you stepped onto that stage?
The first time I stepped on with Hamilton or in high school?
Or just any type of big production or anything.
I mean, that's changed over time because I think early on, I watch a lot of sports and a phrase they always use is, hey, you don't know what you don't know. Like when a young team is coming up and they're playing this team that's been there and it's like, well, they're so young, they don't even know how big this moment is. It might help them. So I think the first time I performed, it was like, I don't know what I don't know. I'm just living the dream right now. The new dream that just came up. It's like, oh shoot, this is really cool. Then, like, I think I reached a point where I was feeling imposter syndrome. I was like, do I belong here? Do I, you know, some of these people have been doing this for years, decades. These kids have been doing it for years, decades. I just started this. Can I really do this? And those shows, especially the larger my roles got as I got better, the more I was like, oh yeah, I got here, but like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like, these people have been doing it longer. That honestly went away because now I've been doing this for, you know, more than a decade. And now it's more like gratitude, to be honest. Stage, it's kind of like, wow, I really do get to do this, and I do deserve it, and yeah, it's kind of how I feel now.
Nice. What would you say is the ultimate dream role for you?
I still think at this point, even though I've played the role twice, but to do it in a capacity in like New York, whether that be Broadway, off Broadway, wherever, Usnavin in the Heights, and I know I've mentioned it already, but to do it with, you know, a culturally correct cast with an amazing creative team at that level. I haven't had that experience yet, at least with both of those things combined. So I think that would be everything to me to have that experience.
It seems that well, part of my ignorance, I haven't seen In the Heights, that role just kind of resonates with you. What is it about that role that you really enjoy?
You know, I'm Dominican. Both of my parents are Dominican. My dad was raised in Tenares, Dominican Republic, which is like countryside in Dominican Republic. And my mom was born in Santo Domingo, but she was raised in Brooklyn since she was like less than a year old. Like she's a New Yorker through and through. And this show talks about a Dominican. Parents came from Dominican Republic. I think he was born in Dominican Republic. And they raised him in New York, and then, you know, he's an orphan as the show goes on. But yeah, they raised this kid. I mean, sorry, he gets raised in New York, but never really knew his homeland, never really been to the Dominican Republic and wants to go back. And that's his whole thing. Whereas for me, like being first generation American in my family, first person to go to college in my family as well, like it means a lot. I mean, both my parents are alive, thank God. Mm-hmm. But it means a lot to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I don't feel I'm completely tied to my roots like I want to. And I think there's a connection there that was always there for me when I did the show. I was like, oh, like I can really, really connect with this material. And on top of that, I really enjoy rapping and I really enjoy singing this music, hip-hop, R&B, Latin music as well, obviously, Into the Heights. So, there's not a lot of shows that do that. There just aren't. So to be able to be in that space and still feel like I'm telling a really great story. There's nothing like it. There's no other shows like it to me. Hamilton is another one. It's like that, obviously same writer, but yeah, same idea.
Now you're from Orlando. I lived there for 10 years, just about 10 years. Tell me if I'm wrong here. The one thing I don't miss, tell me if you agree, I don't miss the traffic at all.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to say that. I just knew that was a coming to your mouth. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I don't know if you finished the question.
No, that's it. Like, am I wrong? Like, that's like, this is the one thing. Like, I love Orlando and all that. Don't miss the traffic whatsoever.
It's awful. I went to Florida State University for 5 years right after Orlando, and then basically worked on a cruise ship and then came to Orlando for COVID and then moved to New York, and I haven't been in Orlando. I'm in and out of Orlando. Every single time I get back to Orlando and I have to get behind the wheel of a car, I'm like, man, I hate, like, it's just, it got so bad. I swear it wasn't that bad when I was growing up. And they've made more highway. I think they've tried to make things better, but it just feels worse. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's awful. It's the worst thing on the planet.
It is. I went back there. I went back to like a concert at the House of Blues at Disney Springs. And It's normally like 2.5 hour drive. It took me about 4 hours. And I'm just like, yep, do not miss this at all. And what's funny is like, you're in New York now, and you were going to New York, and you even say like, after being in New York, yeah, this traffic is the worst.
Well, yeah, because New York traffic is not great either, but I'm also not driving in New York too much. Like, I'm taking the public transportation. But I still think the traffic in Orlando is worse than traffic in New York, which is maybe not true, but it feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Orlando, and it's more spread out. And, you know, that traffic lasts a bit longer than the whatever. I don't even know. New York isn't more than, 2 by 3 miles, even less than that probably. So, yeah, I think Orlando is far worse than New York traffic. And also, low-key or high-key, New Yorkers are better drivers. There's a lot of people in Florida, New Yorkers are better drivers. There's no question. That I will – my dad wanted to argue with me with that, and I was like, I just know. I've driven to both places. There's no question. I feel like in Florida, it's easier to get a license, whereas in New York, there's a little bit more you have to learn so you can be trusted out there. 100% feel way more comfortable driving in New York than in Florida.
That is what's funny is I'm about to ask you. I'm gonna ask you a series of questions that are inspired by the late great James Lipton that I like to ask all my guests, and one of them is spiciest hot take, and I think you might have just came up with one. That is holy crap, because I feel like the more New Yorkers I see here, the worse that driving has been. And I've just been blaming it on New Yorkers. No offense to the New Yorkers that came down here. Hey, welcome to Florida and all that stuff. Every time like, I see like someone cut me off, granted, Orlando has taught me to be like more an aggressive driver. I see like New York, New Jersey, all like the Northeast tags. I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
So I'm going to give you some points on that, because I have to remember that Orlando is becoming this like a transplant city, kind of like New York. And it's been like that for a few years now. But I guess I didn't think about like maybe New York is shipping their worst drivers to Florida and that's why the driver bad. If I didn't think about that, I really didn't. Because I do feel like when I'm driving in Orlando, Miami's worse, and there's different places in Florida that drivers are worse. But Orlando still has some bad drivers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. Maybe they come from New York. So either way, I stand by what I say.
Mm-hmm.
It being in New York, I think there are better drivers. But if they shipped all their bad drivers to Florida, that's just unfortunate.
Yeah. Again, Hamilton will be at the as part of the FSCJ Broadway and Jacksonville series. Make sure you go check that out. Starting December 1st, it'll be Hamilton. Tickets are on sale now. Eddie, before I let you go, I want to ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here, inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm locked in.
All right. What is the most played song on your playlist?
It's Stevie Wonder, but I'm trying to see which one would I play. I'm going to say, Isn't She Lovely, Stevie Wonder.
Guilty pleasure band.
Oh, God. Guilty pleasure. I have to have an answer to this. You know what? I'm going to say the Hamilton musical album, because I still actually enjoy it, even though I hear it every day. I still enjoy listening to it.
Favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Smoking Out the Window, Bruno Mars.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Mangu, which is mashed plantains with mango is the mashed plantains, but it's a Dominican dish. Mashed plantains with fried salami, fried cheese, fried eggs, red onions, and some oil and vinegar. Yeah, I grew up on that. I can eat that every day of the week. It's every meal. I could eat that. You can eat because it's kind of breakfast, but also you can have it for dinner.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I have not tried that before. It's funny. It's like I've had all those. Like I like fried plantains and like mashed them up and all that, but I've never had it like with that combination either. Is it like a sandwich or is it like you literally mash it all up and it's just like this weird mix?
So mango specifically is more like think mashed potatoes. It's not fried.
Okay.
It's the plantains are mashed literally like you boil them and then you mash them up and you put like some butter and salt in it. And so that's like imagine mashed potatoes, but it's plantains, and then on top, then you fry the salami. You put the salami on top of the mango. You lather it with like the oil and vinegar and red onions that you kind of saute. They taste amazing when made correctly. And then you also fry some cheese. Get a little bit of cheese on top of there, and you fry an egg and you throw on top. And we usually have that for breakfast. It's a big breakfast.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm gonna try that. What is your drink of choice?
Diet Coke.
Are you also one of those like Diet Coke for breakfast people?
No, I'm not a Diet Coke for breakfast person. I don't think that's absolutely insane, but I will not do that.
Favorite superhero?
That's a good question. Iron Man.
Favorite internet video?
Internet video? I don't know if I have a favorite internet video, but the first one that came to my head that I'll say it is, "You bit me, Charlie." It was that old
wow.
Back in the day. I used to love that video, but I don't know. There's a lot of videos now that I'm like, I love this video, but I couldn't tell you the name.
What are you watching right now on your streaming platforms?
Something Really Bad is About to Happen, I think, on Netflix. It's called Something Really Bad is About to Happen. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of like this scary show about a girl who's getting married, and she goes out to this cabin to meet the family, and they're going to get married out by this cabin, and crazy things happen, basically, ensues.
Interesting.
Something Really Bad feels like it's about to happen.
Yes. All right. Now I'm curious, because it's funny, I think I just discovered that on my like, one of the queues. I'm just like, huh, this somehow slipped by me, and so I think I saved it, and I haven't watched it yet.
It's good.
Awesome. And finally, I have a feeling I know what this is, but if you have something spicier, I'd like to know, what is your spiciest hot take?
I want to cop out and say, because now it's feeling like a hot take, but like, yeah, I still stand by, I think New York drivers are better than Florida drivers, Floridians. Like, I just do. I'm just going to be honest. That's how I feel about it. I guess it is a hot take, like looking back now, but I'm sticking by that. I'm going to stick by it.
I mean, it's a bold take, and I have to applaud it. Like, I think you're wildly wrong, but it's such a great take. Like, just as someone who watches sports, like, I can appreciate, like, you know, bad takes, but, like, you know what? It's wild enough. I like it. So I'll applaud that. Again, Hamilton will be at the FSCJ Broadway in Jacksonville series December 1st through the 13th. Tickets are on sale now. Eddie Ortega, thanks a lot for coming on.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.